Thank you, Ross Mitchell, my invisible friend. We have callers everywhere from Garden City, New York, to Chicago, Seattle, Montreal, and all points in between, and that's a lot of points. We're speaking with Dr. Robert Manning tonight about money and globalization and a number of other topics that are, all of these roads lead to Rome. Oh, dear. Stay with us, will you? We're going to take your calls and continue talking. He let me call him Bob with Dr. Robert Manning on Coast to Coast AM. I'm John B. Wells. Stand by. Dr. Robert Manning, let's take a call or two. I just got a little email a minute ago that said, because Patriot Act police will come after you, so fear stops people from using reason and they refuse to wake up, so they just keep doing it. I take it that the cycle, no one has slacked off in the accumulation of their debt, have they? Or is credit card use dropping? It doesn't appear. I see them being pulled out everywhere. So is the cycle that's led to where we are now continuing, or is there any sign that it's abating in any way?
Well, it's abating for the wrong reasons. And that's one of the reasons that we've gone into this inevitable double-dip recession that we're entering into now. And the reasons are, number one, people without jobs can't pay their credit card bills. So we've seen a record of, I think, well over $150 billion of credit card debt out of the prior peak of about $860 billion that's been discharged through bankruptcy. The other issue, of course, is that the banks don't lend money anymore. And what we saw, and really one of the most under-discussed features of the subprime lending crisis, were consumer debt that the banks knew was not sustainable in terms of being repaid, was being repackaged and resold. The real objective was that the banks wanted to get the origination fees and then package it and sell it off to some sucker before they realized how bad the debt was, and then they would just get a servicing fee. That was the business model for Bank of America, and that's why they're completely insolvent right now, and they should be closed up and liquidated as the first bank that's not too big to fail. But really, that's one of the major culprits in this recession, is that even though the cost of money to banks is virtually zero and we need to get more money into the system, the banks have pulled back. And as a result, a lot of people that could have possibly used some credit cards to get them over the hump until they got a job, things like that, they just defaulted on their credit cards, and the banks have really shot themselves in the foot. So, yes, credit card debt is declining, but for the wrong reasons. That is, people don't get credit, and they're just going into bankruptcy.
Understood. Let's take a call from Jim. He's in Seattle. That would be west of the Rockies. Jim, if you're there, come on into the Global Living Room, won't you?
You bet. How are you doing, John? How
doing
are you
all right, thanks.
Dr. Bob?
Greetings.
My question is, I'm a technical person, but I don't have much financial background. I want to understand what credit swaps and debt swaps are. They seem to be a big part of the turmoil these days. Can you give me a basic definition?
Well, I think you're talking about the synthetic swaps that were the basis of the hedges in which, you know, the big insurance companies were basically betting that as long as the housing market was going up, they were basically saying that the insurance that investors were paying, that the risk was so low that they were essentially swapping bets that these the values would keep going up. So they really weren't swapping and betting on anything of real tangible value. These were just traders that basically created something that really didn't exist except in the figment of their imagination, that there was a value in these swaps. And then what they did is they just multiplied it by thousands and thousands of times. And so by the time they were making money on the front end, that when the system began to unravel, there was no insurance that could possibly have been accumulated that would pay off when all of these mortgages and other debts collapsed, and that's where the domino effect hit. And so, okay, a lot of these local municipalities thought that they were actually buying an asset in these swaps, and they found out that they were actually purchasing insurance. And that's when they found out that their investment had actually gone to zero. And that's why you're seeing a lot of the financial crisis getting worsening across the country, because so many municipalities were promised that these were safe, quote, investments, and that their asset was secured, when they were actually synthetic swaps and there was no asset that was backing them up.
Unbelievable. Well, it sounds like it's a case of nobody's looking at the end of the line. They're taking the quick money now, thinking, I guess they think that they're going to just get their little bag of money and trot off. Unfortunately, they don't realize that the system is collapsing around them, and there may not be any goods or services to exchange if the cycle continues. Let's bring Nick. He's in Garden City, New York, into the room. Nick, are you there? Come on.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Mr. Wells. Dr. Manning, thank you for taking my call. Here's what I wanted to bring up. You know, banks aren't lending. You know, a person's debt is, skyrocketing. You know, the national debt is just going out the roof. They're talking about, oh, we're in a recession, we might go back into a recession, then they're talking about a double dip. Now, why won't anyone, you know, just come out and say, look, we're in a depression, and what I want to know is, they say, oh, we're going to create jobs. Well, how are you going to create jobs? You know, we don't have a manufacturing base anymore. I mean, that's gone overseas to China now, and just to an extent, some of our service sectors being sent over there, just around the world. I mean, you know, what's the end game here? I mean, I don't see a way out of this. And everybody says, "Oh, don't worry, things are going to get better." But you know, I say to everybody, "Look, you know, there's no way out of this." I mean, you know, what exactly? How much longer are we going to be in this for? In your opinion, I mean, do you think we can honestly get out of this? And if so, do you think that this is going to be more of a slow way out of it, or is it going to be a quick crushing collapse like everybody else says?
That's a real good question. What do you think about that, Doctor?
Well, it's an interesting question to raise, because you mentioned earlier, John, about, you know, did other people see, quote, this coming? And in 2007, I testified in the U.S. Senate Banking Committee, and at that time, Senator Dodd was chairing it, and I was raising the whole issue about this house of cards of the housing market. And I mean, I think we all knew that when you didn't have to produce documents to verify income to buy a big mortgage, that, you know, this was going to be a huge collapse. And I said, you know, at least the bottom 50% of Americans would see their entire assets eliminated over the next decade. And the real question was, what's going to happen to the next group after that? And so what you see is a lot of the banks that have essentially harvested, as you use the example of rotating your fields in the United States, they've now turned outside the United States. So what they see, and what's unique about America, is that we had the largest and most prosperous middle class of any modern society. And once you see the collapse of the American middle class, then the question is, are all of these companies then going to abandon the United States and go to countries where their middle classes are growing? And so from a larger global perspective, the big corporations don't see this as a big crisis, because they're just going to follow the prosperity to other countries. We in America, it's a crisis, because many of these jobs may never come back. And I don't think it takes a genius to figure out. I didn't get invited to the transition team, but I was talking to people that were a few years ago, and I said, why don't you just take the top 20 imports in America and identify what industries they are and tell the American people whether we can or cannot compete globally, and just start with what we buy from other countries the most and figure out a way with American ingenuity to do a better job at it. And that was considered radical and revolutionary, and we saw now where our job situation is, because the question is, you're absolutely correct, where are the good jobs going to come from, and are other countries going to be in a competitive advantage because they don't have the debt overhang that we have here in America? And is the cost of borrowing, et cetera, which major companies are taking a huge advantage of, because the government gives them, through the Federal Reserve, loans at essentially zero, that's not being passed on to the middle class. They should be using that to compete globally, and they're not. They're just sitting on the money and essentially lending it back to the government. And that's why we're not seeing any jobs. And that's the real conundrum, is where should these jobs be generated? And what you're seeing in terms of the failure of public policy is most people are sitting on their hands and saying, oh, it's a business cycle, and usually it takes 3 years for the business cycle to work its way through. This is a bad one, so maybe it's going to take 5 years, and miraculously everything's going to become better. And my argument was, no, this is a debt-driven recession, and that this overhang couldn't possibly be overcome until we started eliminating a substantial amount of debt. But the banks are not going to permit major debt forgiveness like we've seen in other countries around the world, which means then that Americans can't consume and we're not going to see job growth internally. It's going to have to be through exports to other parts of the world. And that's why we're in this state of paralysis right now, because small business is what creates jobs in America, and small business is being strangled both through public policy and access to credit.
You know, I can't help but interject a little bit of the, everybody's concerned about of the conspiracy theory, you know, that everyone is concerned about the world government. It's not a fringe subject anymore. And a fellow who identifies himself as being off the grid somewhere out there in the West wants to know, was this financial crisis engineered to force the U.S. and Europe into a world government and maybe merge the currencies and do the same thing that Mexico did? Do you get into any of that?
Well, I mean, we see that with the major, like the Basel Accords with banking, and we see that with the major summits that occur annually where supposedly major leaders around the world. But all you have to do is look at the economic union, and you look at how they're incapable of coordinating policy between countries, and you realize that that form of governance is really folly, even at a long-term hypothetical. It could never actualize itself. And just the fact that Spain and Portugal can't get along and are driving down the whole European currency along with Greece shows you that this is really just the field rotation analogy that you used earlier. Where's the easiest money with the least amount of risk and investment? And once it gets riskier and more harder to earn a profit, you move on to another part of the world. And that's where, for the first time in American history, Americans are realizing that we're a pawn in this rotational scheme. And in the past, we benefited from companies going to other parts of the world and repatriating those profits back to the U.S. Now we're in a situation where the profits are being repatriated from the United States to other parts of the world, and it's killing us. And we just have not been in that situation and know how to respond. And we better start getting a lot smarter and respond sooner, or we're going to find ourselves as part of the global debt P&H system.
Understood. International Line, Rudy in Montreal, you have a question for Dr. Manning.
Yes. Thank you, John. I would like to tell you, Robert, I think that what should have been done originally is that there had been a moratorium on closures of houses so that people wouldn't have been put out on the street. I mean, it's just a destructive activity, these foreclosures. The other thing they could have done is had an industrial development bank set up, which was a bank of last resort, and let the other banks either fall or shape up. But they're getting all this money and they're not using it. But my main target was this reserve currency status. This is causing, I believe, all kinds of problems. People don't really understand what this reserve currency means. But the thing is, it's causing all kinds of problems because these countries that have massive surpluses with the United States are ending up buying all the most productive capacity of all the countries of the world, utilizing these American currencies that have been printed in astronomical sums. It is destroying the incentive and the ingenuity of many, many countries, because these countries like China, India, Russia, Saudi Arabia have such massive reserves of currency, not reserves, but they have the U.S. dollars, which they can utilize to buy anything in sight.
And do you agree with them, Dr. Bob?
Well, I think one of the big things that most Americans aren't going to realize after this recession is over is countries like, as you're saying, China are buying up mineral reserves around the world, and they're buying them at depressed prices, and you're going to see China focusing on its internal development to the detriment of a coordinated policy of getting the world out of a global recession. And so China is starting to take a stance of, let's take advantage of this surplus of dollars and use it around the world, both to enter countries that have low debt levels so that they could sell them products, but more importantly, to acquire their mineral reserves that they're going to use for their own national purposes. And there's little, not so little things like that, that have tremendous influence on what's going to happen after this global recession is over. The United States is going to find itself in a scarce mineral environment, and it's going to have to become either very, very shrewd, or it's going to be further down on the value-added commodity chain line, and Americans are going to find themselves even further disadvantaged in terms of what kind of good jobs are going to be left in this area.
You know, I was curious, just coming out of left field again, here it comes. Do you think that, do you have any idea that that's why we're actually in Afghanistan? I understand that there are several millions or trillions of dollars worth of strategic minerals in that part of the world. Is that, are we trying to hedge our bets by keeping a presence there, despite all this talk of drawdowns and so forth?
Well, you know, all you have to do is look at the Soviet experience, and, you know, all the major military planners have said that it's an impossible situation, both Afghanistan and Pakistan. And then, of course, trying to strategically, it's easy to wage war, but it's hard to govern when you're considered outsiders and occupiers of a nation. And really, that's the decision America is going to have to make, because the American empire is over. And so the question is, why are we still spending scarce resources trying to dominate an area with military might when the return is only going to be for a few corporations in the future? And that's a mindset that Americans aren't prepared yet to transition to.
So you're basically saying, you are you suggesting that you can't beat people up and have them tell you that they love you?
Well, and you can't use million-dollar missiles to blow up mud huts that are worth fractions of dollars and somehow see a financial gain in the process after that annihilation of a population. And I think a lot of Americans don't realize that, you know, there's strength. It's kind of like maintaining the American military brand, and then there's the real value of what that brand is. And that brand value had a very different meaning and a different value, you know, 30, 40 years ago than it does now. And this is a technological global world, and this kind of way to maintain foreign policy is just not sustainable.
Understood. Now, your book is Credit Card Nation, The Consequences of America's Addiction to Credit, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
And your website is creditcardnation.com, and you have another one that's responsibledebtrelief.com, and also debtorlife.com.
Yes, and we're also launching an alternative to the conventional FICO scores, and we'll be launching next month. Basically a website for consumers based on our net cash flow algorithm to self-underwrite your loans and essentially level the playing field between banks and consumers. And in many ways, I think this is going to revolutionize the relationship, where consumers are going to know more about their financial ability and their wherewithal to afford a loan than the banks will. And hopefully this will lead to a more equitable pricing structure for consumers that don't beg banks for loans, but actually realize that banks can't stay in business unless they loan people money, and then you'll actually know what's a fair price to pay for your loan. So that's really an initiative I've been working on for the last 7 years, and it's finally coming to fruition next month.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us for the first time on the show, Dr. Robert Manning, creditcardnation.com. I'm John B. Wells. This is Coast to Coast AM, and we'll be back with your calls for the remainder of the show. Thanks, Ross. Well, for anyone who is interested, and there are several people who are interested, the music list is actually posted on the Coast to Coast AM website at the end of the show, so just check it out. I like music, especially at this time of night, and the rest of the show belongs to you, so use those numbers. I know it's a little annoying sitting on hold, but I promise you I will get to as many as I possibly can. I don't much care what we talk about, as long as it's interesting to you. However, well, I'll tell you what, that's opening a Pandora's box, isn't it? So let's get through this little break here, and then give me a call. We'll just sit around and shoot the breeze about whatever you want. The bus-sized satellite that's coming down, somebody suggested they think they may have seen it come down. I'm checking to see if it's actually come out of the sky yet. I was wondering what the chances were that it would land on the blockhouse here. Probably not, but, you know, if suddenly I go off the air and we go into a best of show, you'll know what happened, all right? I'm John B. Wells. Glad to be with you tonight. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stand by, please. All right. Greetings, friends. All right. As I indicated earlier, it is, I've christened tonight's show, You, Phonic Friday. So, and it looks like it's kind of a guy's club here. So that's all right. Let us talk to the wild card line, George in Apollo, Pennsylvania. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, George, how are you?
Oh, good for tonight. I wanted to talk to you, but I'm also talking to the nation in a certain sense, since we're such a broad band. And what I want to talk about might be our salvation for our economics. My background from 1961 forward was in real estate. I was a real estate broker, associate broker still, and I'm 75. But in that time, when I first got that license, the steel mills were operating in Pittsburgh, and we're advised they're going away, you see. And an example, we got a mile and a half of what we call South Side of 145 bars in, which used to service about 300,000 mill workers, you see. Now,
yes,
they're all overseas. And this is our problem. And talked not too long ago with a Marine, and said, I said to him, I said, how do you like fighting for your country in a foreign uniform built by some other? And they told him, oh, we get our own uniform. Well, he doesn't realize that the uniforms come in and they change to American labels and send them to him. So whenever you can't even get your clothes made in this country, you can see the problem. So now here's our answer. In order, in this period, like the housing, now that ABCD credit,
yeah,
they were real and were forced on the lenders by the federal government in order to get the middle or lower middle to get into homes. But
sure,
they had bad credit, and it wasn't a negative at the time, but they make a negative picture now about it. But it sustained. That was the plug-in when the steel mills were going. It was the industry. Now, that's going away. So here's what we have to do. Currently in our country, all corporations, now corporations of abstract citizen, right now our corporations from Detroit to Pittsburgh, of course, are all overseas. Don't do us any good. We can't get a tax break, nothing from it. So now what do we have to do? We have to take, now when I'm a corporation, I'm there designed for profit. As a director, I'm a director, I'm on a board, whatever across this nation, the directors on the board have to make a decision to profit. Well, in our country, because of our taxes and our save this and save that, my hour here might be $200 a company hour to make the product. And I can find it in another part of the world where they don't have all these regulations, which we disagree with, and they should have them. But say $20 an hour as a director, I have to make the decision to go there. So now here's how you have to stop it. You have to take that off the board. You have to take the director's easy decision to go overseas and make it so that they have to stay here and figure out technology and make it work or go out of
business. I'm with you on this, George, but I got to ask you something. How is this done? I mean, do you get your torches? And
this is, right. Now, that I had to give you the background so you understand what I'm going to say next.
Okay.
Each corporation is registered in the states or bulk in Delaware or Nevada.
Okay.
And they're free, what I call free willing. I can go to the moon anywhere. But now here, I'd like to see an authority. I have to pass it by Congress, but I also have to take it away from, because if you don't, they manipulate it. I have
okay.
to have an authority that makes up of what I call a federal corporation. You can still have state corporation, but a federal corporation. But the difference with the federal corporation is it'll be registered. If I'm going to start here in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania, I'll be registered in Pennsylvania, so I get tax benefits for this place. But it has to be, the domain that I'll be working in has to be defined, such as I'm going to be a city corporation or a county corporation or a state corporation.
Now, how would this be done? How would this be implemented?
All corporations that ever been made came about because we had a legislative action years ago. It's all
so that's what it's going to take.
Action.
So that's what it's going to take again.
Well, the end result, the corporations all operate under legislative action. And you as a public, me across this nation, we can request our congressman and that to, by legislative action, to design this thing so that our a type of corporation is going to stay in this country because when you start up, I pledge to stay in Pittsburgh. Well, I'm going to make my widgets in Pittsburgh. Now, you want to give me tax breaks and everything. Now you got an investment because I'm not going to China.
That's I understand. Now, it sounds complex, but it's...
I need an authority that makes a federal corporation that we have domains versus wide open. The domains will be city, county, state, maybe a regional or national. But when I say that I'm going to be that corporation, I have taken off the board, leaving. I have to stay and manage truly and figure out the best technology, the best events to make my corporation productive in this country. I have, it's like a patriotic putting a flag here saying, I'm staying. That's what we're lacking.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Not too bad at all. Although I think you may have some. Do you think this would make some union problems? Quickly.
No problem. The union. My grandfather had union card number 4 in this whole country. So I have a union background. My dad was 2 times union president of Rockwell Manufacturing and 2 times at Westinghouse. So I know what unions. The only thing with the, the country's a union. when one guy's making a bolt on an engine somewhere, he doesn't have too much to say on how he shares a little bit of the profit, and that's what that's all about. And when it's, the problem is with the unions, not the problem with the unions, but the directionals that have been given the unions, whenever a president and higher officials can get millions and millions of dollars, and a guy down on the bench is getting only $40,000. What I'm saying, there's an X factor there. I think, again, legislative action should be held there, that if I'm a union president, I sure darn well shouldn't be making $1 million when the guy's making only 16 down on the line. Maybe I can make 5 or 6 times the what I'm working for. You understand? I must have it tied to that man on the bottom line or what I'm making. Then you'll have a better union.
Well, yeah, of course, and that would require ethics, wouldn't it? Thanks a lot, George. Hey, Dan in Chicago, are you there? Dan, you gave up too quick, man. All right, let's try Ed in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for doing an intelligent show.
Well, thanks. It's all relative, you know.
I wish you could have had your Dr. Bob on longer, but, you know, I know things are scheduled and whatnot. I had an important question to ask him, but I will still ask you. Someone mentioned manufacturing, which made me think of a double question. I'm not sure if you're familiar with ABC News' ongoing Made in America series.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
How to increase manufacturing and jobs in America. They had stated that even if we spend $3 a month collectively, millions of us, on American product, it would create about 20 new jobs. They did recently back to school issue where they showed kids going back to the college dorms and the catalogs that the colleges issue to these kids and new college students to refurbish their dorm rooms. The catalogs, 100% of the products in the catalog are made in China. So they took it upon themselves to furnish two rooms with equal amounts of items and styles, equal. And one was made in America and one was made in, you know, the world, since NAFTA products. And the American room looked nicer and everything was made in America and it came out $50 cheaper than the imported items. So if everybody listening to the show could think positive, maybe we can do an Art Bell Mind Over Matter and buy stuff made in America. You know, from coast to coast, all of us think that things are going to improve. Maybe we can improve it. Also, 10 years ago, actually 11 years ago, the Federal Reserve website already had something about the Amero in it. Talk about conspiracy theories. There's this right out in the front. It's not a conspiracy at all. It's right out in the open. And someone told me, look up the Federal Reserve in the yellow pages. And I'm like, why? It would be in the blue government pages, wouldn't it? And no, it's in the yellow pages from coast to coast. if you go online and go on the yellow pages, put Federal Reserve, and it'll come up. Each one of them is a business bank for profit, and that's what is the Federal Reserve. And on one of those websites, it'll talk about the Amero from the year 2000. So that's not a conspiracy theory. It's real. And that was my question to Dr. Bob, the new name that you coined for him. I think it's a great name for him. Short and sweet.
You know, I that's why I was asking him about Mexico, because I don't know why. I don't have a lot of scientific data to back this up, but I've spent a good bit of my life just operating on intuition. It's worked out pretty well so far. And based on what you just said, it seems to me like a scenario much like what occurred in Mexico with the ridiculous conversion. 1,000 pesos became 1 peso. I think that's entirely possible.
Right. I agree.
I think that's exactly where we're headed, because someone is trying to collapse this thing. No one has satisfactorily explained to me why it's okay to do all this business with the Red Chinese. It's still Communist China. Now, they're coming out of it, but let's not forget, 50, 60 years ago, they could not feed their own people, and now they are just rocking and rolling, and they're new at this. So when people say, well, China, they can just hold on to it forever. You need to have your kids start learning Mandarin, and because they're going to hold it. I don't think they're experienced enough to hold on to it.
If I may, my question to Dr. Bob was going to be, is the dollar being held up artificially, since the world, most people in the world still respect the dollar and hold it in higher esteem than their own currencies? Like, for the fact that it was said that the United States government is worth less than Apple computers recently. You know, if it's that small, the whole Congress, the national parks, everything is worth less than Apple computers. I couldn't fathom it. So my question to Dr. Bob is going to be, if it's being held up artificially, is it being held up artificially, and it would collapse to zero if bank country by country starts to implode financially?
You know, when you get right down to it, all of the currencies are being held up artificially because these currencies are made to produce what? Stuff. It's entire. For the last how long has it been automobile production, housing starts, the same stuff over and over and over again? So,
well,
we've built too much stuff. Who's going to buy all this stuff? Which I think is originally why they thought, well, look, this is the model. This is what we produce. This is what we do. I think we'd better try and figure out a way to have it produced more cheaply. It's like, well, what about our workers? It's like, well, maybe we'll come up with some new ideas. That's about the only thing that I can think of. So, someone, these are all human beings that run these. People talk about corporations as if it's some sort of a, you know, an alien entity. I mean, a case could be made for it, but that's just flippancy. These corporations, yeah.
If I may, can we do a thought transference for the whole country? Light can get rid of the darkness. Love is light. Maybe we can get rid of all this negativity and, you know, dark forces that are trying to make a world, enslave the people of the world. Why don't we send love to Washington in our thoughts and positive energy, that we get rid of all these problems and our country is back on its feet? Think positive and send these positive energies, if you can, if you will, to Washington and say they're going to do the job right. We're going to get out of this. Don't think badly, and maybe things will overturn themselves. Sometimes
it
works.
I like that kind of thinking, and that's true. And I don't want to sound too negative about this, because...
Right, I don't want to either, even though I believe in all the conspiracy theories that you believe in. Believe me, I've looked at everything, and, you know, there was a pro-Israeli website, was one of the first to report that there was inconsistencies in the 9/11 reporting. Israel was not behind 9/11. Plenty of Jews died in the World Trade Center. As a matter of fact, over 360 Jewish people died. The Arab world is saying, oh, the Jews didn't go to work that day. They did it. You know, it's a bunch of BS.
Well, the thing of it, there's just such a huge, there's this horrible effort to divide everybody, because, you know, that's the idea. Look, let's say there really is such a thing as good and evil, because there is. In my world and in my reality, there is good and there is evil. Well, evil doesn't create anything. Evil just perverts, twists, or distorts something that's already been created. So, you know, I join you in that. Maybe we should all just send a big love burst up there, and maybe we can appeal to the actual human being inside our politicians and go, you know what, stop playing games with our lives. You know better than that. You're not going to be around here forever. What are you handing down to the people who come behind you, your children and their children? What are you going to... You cannot isolate yourself from the world. We are all interconnected. And I thank you very, very much for your call. I believe we have time for one more. And that would be Ken in Houston, east of the Rockies, most definitely. If you're still there, Ken, we'd love to talk to you.
Still here. Good morning, John.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, and you?
Oh, just too good for my own good. But, you know, that's another story altogether. What's on your mind?
Awesome show tonight, first of all.
Thanks.
Very relevant. I wish there were more talk about this sort of thing. I think it should be topic number one, given the state of the nation.
I agree with you.
Well, basically, I wanted to share my experience with you and your listeners tonight.
Okay, we got about 3 minutes because we're pushing the top, and if we don't pick a convenient point, it'll just chop us off. So let us have it.
All right. I'll try to make it short and snappy.
Okay.
Basically, lived in Mexico from 1984 to 1999. In the time I was there, I got to witness the two big economic crises firsthand, as well as the switch to the new currency when they took off the three zeros.
Yep.
Hindsight being 2020, I can now see that this was a process and not what people believed at the time. You know, it's not so much about corruption in government or politicians stealing the nation's money, but a way to lead the nation in NAFTA and everything that we're seeing today.
Well, I'm not following you.
We have had it so good in the United States for such a long time that in reality we have fallen behind when it comes to economics, and I mean this, the people's perception of the economy.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we've lived way too large for way too long, and now it's coming back to bite us. We need some new ideas, and we need to deny these people in authority the ability to confuse us and divide us. In other words, things are really more important than how we look or feel when we wake up in the morning. Thank you very much for being a part of the program. It's open lines tonight. That would be Euphonic Friday. I'm John B. Wells, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return.